Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 33 to 35. The Deaf Mute, part 3. We come now to what Jesus did with this man, to the cure. Let me read it to you. After Jesus took him aside, I'm reading from verse 33, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means, be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Mark chapter 7, verses 33 to 35. What did Jesus do? Well, you can answer it in a few words. He cured the man. He cured the man in the most remarkable way. Imagine the relief for this man. Think of the pain he might have been suffering, or the discomfort, or the agony, the distress of mind. Whenever these miracles, these cures are worked by the Lord Jesus, think of the relief to the people. You know what it's like yourself. You have a pain or a difficulty removed. The relief is fantastic, is it not? It is indescribable. And this is what this man experiences here. The man's ears are opened, his tongue loosened, and he began to speak plainly. And it's a remarkable miracle. Now, you remember that discourse, I hope you do, I'll remind you of it, the general principle, general point, that no two people are brought to Christ in the same way. Now, this is a miracle, a physical miracle, with the deaf and the dumb speaking and listening and so on, hearing. But there's an illustration of the gospel, and the same with sinners being saved. Because you haven't had the experience of X, Y, or Z, your mother or your father or whatever, it doesn't mean to say you're not saved. Are you trusting Christ now? What do we learn here about this miracle that we can take for a gospel illustration for us all? There are many things you know, I don't understand, I can't explain, and I'm not going to attempt to explain them. But let me just bring out some of these general principles and general points that we can apply. Do you notice the man was dealt with individually? He was taken aside, away from the crowd. And Jesus dealt with him on his own. We aren't saved in the mass, as it were. We might be in a very large meeting, but we are saved individually. We each had individual dealings with Christ. And he deals with us in his own individual way. It's not a production line. We're not just a mere number on the page. It's not routine. Christ deals with this man in this particular way, and it's different to this miracle and that miracle and so on. They're not all the same at all. They're not peas in a pod. They're individual. And secondly, Jesus touched the man. What do you learn from that, verse 33? He touched the man. Put his fingers in his ears and so on. Well, he looked into the very point of it, the man's ears. He touched the very spot. And he had compassion on the man. And he had power there. I see him touching his ear. That's where your trouble is. But whenever we see God dealing with men and women in the scriptures about their sins, David, for example, Nathan didn't preach about something out of the blue. He preached on the very point that David needed to hear. Saul of Tarsus, going on the road to Damascus. Christ meets with him at the very point. It's always the very spot. The rich young man, Jesus deals with that rich young man on the very point that he needs. And that point may be different for you and me and whatever, but whatever it is, Christ knows how to deal with it. He deals with us individually, and he touches. And he looked up to heaven, it says, verse 34. He looked up to heaven. And that's an illustration to me. This gospel business, this salvation, is downward. It comes from God. Regeneration comes from God. The gift of faith comes from God. The purpose to save, the sending of the Lord Jesus, it's all from God. Salvation, hymn by William Gadsby. Salvation, oh my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. And I see that principle here. Do you notice the command? Be opened. So, something's closed up. Jesus says, open it. An arm is withered, he says, stretch it out. He says to dead sinners, believe. He says to blind sinners, look. What are you learning from this? The gospel command seems foolishness, doesn't it? We have to command dead sinners to believe. We have to command those who hate the gospel to repent and believe. But God gives power in the gospel. Be open. Seemingly foolish. Stretch out. Believe on the Lord Jesus. It seems foolish to say it, but God gives power in that word. And then we get the wonderful cure. Let me just read it again. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. I assure you, my friend, if you come to Christ, if you meet with him, if you trust him, his merit, his blood and righteousness, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved and you will be cured. You'll be able to sing Matson's hymn, W.T. Matson. Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy marred visage any grace, but now, but now, the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was deaf, I could not hear the thrilling music of thy voice, but now I hear thee and rejoice, and sweet are all thy words and dear. Lord, I was dumb, I could not speak the grace and glory of thy name, but now, as touched with living flame, my lips thine eager praises wake. Lord, I was dead. I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee, but now, since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. For thou hast made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live, and thou didst break the chains of my captivity. Oh, trust the Saviour, and you'll be singing that, my friend.